This is a 720 to go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
This podcast is sponsored by ADM.
As one of the world's largest agricultural processors, ADM is uniquely positioned to serve the world's growing needs for abundant food and renewable energy. ADM.
When it comes to the business of America's farmland, you need the information from the people who know it best. That's why we bring you AgriCast with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong.
Well, good morning, Roger, and good morning, world, as we come to you for our weekly visit on Saturday morning here on WGN Radio Chicago. As I mentioned earlier, talking to Matt, we're going to be talking markets for the year ended and the year coming with Paul Georgie, who is chairman of the board at Allendale Inc. in McHenry, Illinois. And also, we're going to be talking about an education opportunity on where their specialists think the markets will be going in 2018. But before we get to all of that, we're going to check in with Max Armstrong and get caught up to date on the opening day at the American Farm Bureau Convention in Chicago, or in Nashville, Tennessee. And we'll do that when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. We're at 10 minutes after 5 here on this Saturday morning. And tell you what, let's check in to get some info on the Farm Bureau Convention in Nashville with Max Armstrong. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Orion. Well, the members of the Farm Bureau have a full agenda this weekend and early next week at their annual meeting in Nashville, in one of the coolest places they ever gather. I mean, it's one of the farthest north. Next year, they'll be in New Orleans. The year after that, Austin, Texas, then San Diego, where this year they could have had a very warm convention. Last night I talked with the president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Rich Giebert. As they're gathered there, I said, what's on your minds?
Well, probably the first thing, Max, is it's cold.
It sure is. And I guess that begs the question. I mean, you're not exactly in a sunny, warm climb this year for the meeting. Do you think it'll hurt attendance? Will people be staying home to take care of things back home?
No, they're not. And from what I understand, we got 44 states that are going to be up on their numbers of attendees here in Nashville. Looking forward to good conversation and debate on the delegate floor. And we normally have our state breakfast on Monday morning, and Zippy's president's address Sunday with everything else that goes on. And, of course, we're going to have the president going to visit with us on Monday afternoon. So we're all looking forward to that.
How do Farm Bureau members feel about the president coming there? Obviously, I guess some of them would be honored and think it's just outstanding. Others may be a little bit lukewarm on this president. How do Farm Bureau leaders view Donald Trump, Rich?
Well, for the most part, I think those from Illinois are really glad that we got some tax reform taken care of. Wish we'd have got the health care taken care of earlier in the year. Maybe that'll come later in the year. But the president's, you know, his rhetoric here lately has been about infrastructure and one of his first things on his agenda here in 2018. But I think what's on our hearts and minds as he comes here to Nashville is talking about trade, talking about NAFTA. And I hope he gives us some encouraging words that we can get this deal taken care of and put it to bed and have a good trade agreement with our partners to the north and the south in for years to come.
Would it be accurate to say there must be some mixed emotions about Donald Trump? I mean, well, hey, to be sure, he's made folks nervous in dismantling the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has served Midwest farmers pretty well. But at the same time, this administration put out of its misery that Waters of the United States issue that clearly was a very big concern to farmers and ranchers and others in business.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Max. And you know, we really need a trade agreement to work well for us. We've been in a tough farm economy here for the last 4 years. And the last thing we need is for someone to say that we're going to withdraw from NAFTA and put the commodity prices, particularly corn and soybeans, into a downturn, a spiral downturn. We really need a boost to these commodity prices to get us moving forward, because as you know, we're at a point in time in the year where we're buying our inputs for the next year and trying to figure out what kind of crops we want to plant and where we want to go next year. And it'd be nice to get these trade agreements behind us and we start the talks on what's going to be in the next farm bill.
Speaking of trade agreements, what's your view in regard to how it might have affected the farm economy? In other words, Rich, has all of this unsettling talk hurt farm prices, hurt the agriculture economy?
Well, I think what it's done, Max, more than anything, it's just kind of put us in a state of limbo, you might say. We don't know if we want to go up or want to go down. We come off of a really good crop last year. Us, particularly in southern Illinois, are looking forward to the river freezing up north, so our basis improves to give us a couple more cents down in southern Illinois. But we'll just have to see what comes down the road. It's really been tough the last. There's not been an opportunity in this last market to where you could sell corn much above, or close around the $4 mark, which is, right at or below cost of production.
You folks in agriculture have a planting season, you have a harvesting season. I often refer to this one as the learning season for growers, and there'll be plenty of that, I trust, at the AFBF meeting in Nashville.
Absolutely. We got a lot of things we're going to talk about. Illinois, who was fortunate after our convention in Chicago a few weeks ago, actually almost a month ago, we're looking at, some solar policy to bring forward, looking at what we can put in this farm bill moving forward, and a number of different things. We're looking at a 3-in-1 marketing plan that we're going to try and push far to try and get multi-year sign-up for those that don't have any changes in a farm. Farming operation, and to help our young farmers and beginning farmers as we move forward, in agriculture.
Rich, we hope you have a great annual meeting there. We appreciate you taking the time to visit with us.
Well, thank you very much, Max, and take care and enjoy the cool weather.
Rich Gibradorian, who farms in deep southwestern Illinois, down across from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, way down there. By the way, when Donald Trump comes in to the Farm Bureau Convention Monday, it'll be the first time a U.S. president has been there in 26 years. Orion?
All right, Max. Yes, I do remember the last time a president attended the American Farm Bureau Convention. And, of course, having the president at your annual meeting is important. But you talk about security problems and things the Secret Service had to do, it's not an ordinary process to bring the president into the convention. Well, as Max mentioned, this is the learning time of the year for farmers across the nation. Meetings, outlook gatherings, and what kind of a year we're going to do as far as planting, all coming into play, and a lot of people holding meetings to at least try to provide some answers to those questions. And we're going to talk to a gentleman whose company in McHenry, Illinois, is once again putting together meetings for farmers to at least help them do some planting. And so we're going to visit with Paul Giorgi at Allendale when we continue here on the Saturday Morning Show. At the end of the year and the beginning of a new year in the market world, we sort of look back and look ahead. And we're going to do that with our guest this morning, who is Paul Giorgi. He's chairman of the board of Allendale in McHenry, Illinois. No stranger to this show and no stranger to WGN. But before we talk markets, Paul, I want to talk about the activity that you have in the early part of the year, because you get involved in a lot of meetings that provide information. So take me through the calendar for what's going to happen in January and February and on.
Well, I will try to do that, and thank you for having me here at the beginning of 2018. We do have some exciting things coming up. We've got our annual conference, the Allendale Ag Leaders Annual Conference. We do it through a webinar type approach, but it's the 30th year that we are having a meeting, and it starts on January 23rd, a Tuesday. We've got Drew Lerner as our speaker. He's from World Weather Inc., and he's going to talk about how La Nina might develop this year, if there's a chance of La Nina developing, and what it might and how it could impact the row crops for this 2018 season. Then on Wednesday, the 24th, we've got we're going to take a look at grains, and Rich Nelson, our chief economist here, and a couple other of our analysts are going to discuss the fundamentals, the technicals of the market, how the funds are participating, and how they may play into the price direction in 2018. And then on the 24th, we've got the livestock section, and we'll be looking at that and what kind of pricing that we might have and what kind of advantages the livestock feeder can take advantage of here in 2018.
And I notice the title for that get together is "Are We In for a Bull Ride in 2018?"
Well, that's right. We've got to find some excitement somewhere, and I think the cattle market here in even 2017 has been the very exciting. It's had some ups and downs and given us opportunities, something that the corn market has or the grain market hasn't, but. And then we go on, and when we go look at our calendar, we go into mid-February. We've got several meetings that we'll be participating in out in Nebraska and also in central Iowa, working with a lender out there. We'll be doing a meeting on March 8th. So we've got a pretty full calendar here coming up already for the 2018 meeting season.
But now you're delivering your information a little different than you did 30 years ago when you started.
We are doing that. We're doing it through technology, through a webinar. We find that it's a lot easier for the farmer to get this information. He's got a computer. He can listen to the we record it, so he can listen to it live. It starts at 2:00 each day, or he can listen to it on a recorded version where he can listen to it at his leisure. Now, I might add, the only thing that with Drew Lerner on the first day, the 23rd, Drew will only be live. We're not recording that. He doesn't want us to record it. He wants it live only, so you will have to attend and be available at near your computer to do that. We also give the farmers an opportunity to bring a few other people together. They can do it either at their lender, maybe in their shop, whatever they want to do, where they can actually share it with other folks in their area if they want to do that. But it does save some time. It saves money. They don't have to pay for the housing and the hotel bill and things like that, and worry about weather. And we're doing all of this for $249, I should say, for the opportunity of the 3 days of. And we also got to remember, we've got Eric Norland from the CME. We'll have a recorded session that, and he's going to be talking about the economics in the world. And we've asked him a question that has been proposed to us: is what about, we've got all this grain, we've got a lot of poor people in the world. What's it going to take economically to help us reduce our oversupply and do a better job of feeding these people? So we'll see what he's got to say about that.
So what about getting involved in it? Is there a website you go to, or how do you get involved in the 3 days starting January 23rd?
You can either call us at 800-262-7538, or you can go right to Allendale's website, allendale-inc.com. Right on our homepage, you can, there's a click on the ad. You can subscribe there, and we're already having quite a number sign up, and we also find that in this case many of the people procrastinate a little bit and wait till the last few days before the conference to sign up. But I'd say get in there early, and then from there it's pretty easy. Just sign up, and we'll walk you through it and get you attending the conference.
That website again is Allendale, and then what? A slash?
Inc.com.
Inc.com. One other thing that you always do sometime before planting gets underway is a survey of farmers' intentions. Will you be doing that this year?
We will be doing that, and that certainly will be a key number when we discuss the potential in 2018 of what is the planting going to be, how many acres of soybeans and corn will be planted. And we do that survey usually the first week of March, and because those numbers will be released at the end of March, on March 31st, on the Planted Prospective Plantings Report. So we try to do that right around we do it for 2 weeks, starting the last week of February, first week of March, because that's the same time the USDA sends out their surveys to be filled out by farmers. So we've got a comparable number, and we'll be releasing that probably around the 7th to the 10th of March. I don't know exactly what day yet. I haven't looked at the calendar that far ahead, but we'll have that released before that March 31st report.
Well, Paul, we're going to let you take a break, but don't go too far away from the microphone, because in the second half of the Saturday morning show, I want to talk markets at the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018. Paul Georgie, Chairman of the Board, Allendale, McHenry, Illinois, with us again on the Saturday Morning Show.
Holidays and a new year bring cherished moments and smiles we capture forever. This year, we are proud to celebrate our 10th year milestone of the famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars. A favorite gift amongst our listeners, this year's calendars are completely redesigned with a fresh new look and feel by our friends at 2K's. And with all new stunning photography of our beautiful city, you can personalize any name you want with authentic realism. Imagine your recipient's name in prominent landmarks creatively illustrated in every month. Available now at WGNradio.com. Give these calendars to coworkers, family, and friends. It's a practical and useful gift used every day of the year. Something your gift recipient will always remember you by. Go to WGNradio.com and scroll down to the featured section to order yours today. 2018 Epic Calendars for an Epic Year.
27 minutes after 5 o'clock here on the Saturday Morning Show on WGN Radio Chicago, and talking markets, we ended the week yesterday with a real downward move in the cattle market. Chicago Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures down sharply yesterday, hitting daily trading limits on weaker cash market prices and easing concerns that the frigid weather in feedlot areas could disrupt marketings. Monday will be the first of 5 days that funds in CME's livestock markets, which track the Standard & Poor's Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, rolled February long positions primarily into the April and June contracts. But looking at yesterday's action, cattle futures for the month of February down the daily $3 limit, ending the day and the week at $119.25 a hundredweight. April also traded limit down, but settled just off limit down $2.97 at $120.85. That means the live February cattle futures will be trading with an expanded $4.50 on Monday, following the limit down settlement That's per CME rules on trading. So Monday, a $4.50 per hundredweight limit on cattle futures trade. Now, cash cattle at Texas and Kansas feedlot markets traded at $122 yesterday, down a dollar from a week ago, and below early week expectations for cash sales of at least $125. Apparently, the winter storm on the East Coast weighed on futures, but not as much, maybe, as some people thought would be the case. So Friday, not a good day for the cattle trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. We'll have to wait till Monday to find out if it's going to get any better. And Roger, I think literally you would like to be with me this morning, because I think the Southwest, particularly here in Arizona, is the best weather in the entire country. The past several days, temperatures have been above normal, and we've had the opportunity to talk to quite a few Midwesterners who are spending time in the warmth and the sun of the Arizona landscape. So try to get you out here real fast if we can. But welcome back to the Saturday morning show. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to visit some more with Paul Georgie, chairman of the board at Allendale. That will be coming up. But right now, we say welcome to Samuelson Says, sponsored by Wink Products Company, makers of quality, specialty cleaning products since 1947. And I am Orion Samuelson with you here this morning. And with all the activity in the stock market, particularly the Dow and some of the history moves this week, I'm going to share with you some more information on the Dow Industrial Average. If there's one thing I know, it's that all toilet bowls enjoy being rust-free. Hi, this is Orion, and this holiday season, give your toilet bowl RustGuard, the in-tank toilet bowl cleaner that protects against rust and hard water stains with every flush. Just one RustGuard tablet in the tank. It's really that easy. Log on to Wink, WHINK.com, to see all the fine clinging products from Wink. Pick up RustGuard this holiday season. Joy to the bowl. The rust is gone. No doubt the Dow Industrial Average has been in the spotlight a great deal the past several days because it broke through the 25,000 level for the first time in history. Well, that prompted the folks at Associated Press to take a look at the history of the Dow, and I certainly didn't know all that there is to know, and I wonder if you do. Let me share with you the knowledge of the Dow Jones Industrial Average from Associated Press. Question number one, when was the Dow Jones Industrial Average first published? May 26 of 1896. What is the lowest recorded closing level for the Dow? The lowest point on record for the Dow is 2848. On August 8th of 1896. And has the Dow always had 30 stocks in it? Well, no. The first version of the average contained 12 industrial stocks, including U.S. rubber, American sugar, and American cotton oil. Then what is the Dow Jones Industrial Average named for? The average was created by Dow Jones and Company, which was founded by Charles Dow, Edward Jones, and Charles Bergstresser. Dow Jones and Company also founded the Wall Street Journal. Here's one that really surprised me. Which company has been in the average from the very beginning? General Electric. And then, what was the Dow's biggest one-day increase in percentage terms, and when did it happen? The Dow rose 11%, or 936 points, on October 13th of 2008. And then what was the Dow's biggest one-day drop in percentage terms, and when did it happen? The Dow lost 22% or 508 points on October 19th of 1987. And that date came to be known as Black Monday in the stock market. Now you know a lot more about the Dow Industrial Average, now trading above 25,000. My thoughts on Samuelson Says. A presentation of Tribune Radio Networks. And here we are at 21 minutes before 5 o'clock on this cold Saturday morning across the Midwest. Earlier we talked to Paul Georgie at Allendale about some of their informational events and gatherings coming up in the early part of 2018. But we really visit with him throughout the year to talk about markets. And so he stayed with us, and he'll be joining us with his look at the end of 2017, the beginning of 2018 in the marketplace. Stay with us here on the Saturday Morning Show. Paul Georgie, chairman of the board at Allendale in McHenry, Illinois, back with us here on this Saturday morning in some very cold weather. How much of a difference does that make in consumption of pork and beef and grain and everything else we grow on farms here in the United States? Do you look at that weather every day?
Well, we watch weather every day. I think the consumption is probably a normal event. We have cold weather sometime throughout the year. I think with the number of livestock that we have, I mean, we certainly are seeing probably a larger consumption of corn simply because of the cold weather. However, I don't think it has a major impact, when, especially when we have 2.4, almost 2.5 billion bushels of corn that we've got to that we'll have for in our ending stocks and our bins here at the end of this year.
I know this is a tough question, but as we look back over 2017, was there one surprise in the market that really caught traders off guard?
Well, I think the surprise that caught traders, farmers, everybody off guard is that we really never got much of a rally in the corn market. And we had dry conditions, really adverse conditions in many areas in western Iowa, southern Illinois, that were too wet and then they were too dry. And when the combines rolled through the fields, there were some exciting and unbelievable yields that were being harvested. And I think that, to me, was the surprise, and probably the weight that is that we're burdened with right now is that we've had such a big crop that was totally a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard from farmers all over the Corn Belt saying, you know, the yield is a lot better than I expected. But I think probably technology is the culprit on that one, because we can overcome dry weather. We can overcome a lot of challenges because of the technology that we're now looking at in our various crops.
Yeah, and the technology and the genetics. I mean, that's the genetics that we're dealing with today, and the corn growers, corn seed corn producers, and soybean producers have done just a tremendous job and made tremendous strides in that part of the production agriculture. Soybeans probably gets the biggest hurrah here because of the amount of yield that we've been able to produce this last year, and you got to say that has to do with the seed genetics, and from what talking to seed producers, they still believe there's another 10 to 20 bushel an acre soybeans that we can get out of these things simply with the better genetics. And of course, if you get the right amount of rain, it gives us a tremendous potential.
Well, talking soybeans, we have to talk South America this time of the year. And I'm sitting here looking at a story that moved across Reuters yesterday. Brazil's Mato Grosso kicks off soy harvesting with producers making a good start. And Brazil and South America continues to grow as a competitor for the U.S. market, right?
Well, they do that, and that's something that we've got to look at and be concerned about. We have a USDA report next week on the 12th of next Friday, and one of the key numbers there that we are concerned about is export demand. Right now, U.S. export demand is running about, if you compare it to a year ago, we're about 270 million bushels behind a year ago levels, or the amount that we need to meet the USDA goal. We're probably not going to stay that far behind, but let's say we take 100 million bushel of that off, and you add that to the carryover that we had last month of 445 million bushel, that gives us an ending stocks of about 545 million bushel. And the problem that we have is that because of South America starting to harvest, once they normally when they start harvesting, that takes away from our markets, and so it's going to be hard for us to catch up. So by them starting to harvest, our stocks and our exports running behind, it doesn't make a lot of exciting opportunities for soybeans here in the near term, unless the USDA surprises us and say, well, we didn't have as many a big of yield in soybeans or whatever here in the U.S. So we're going to need some help, because South America is knocking on our door as with another crop, and they do that, they ship it out, and that's usually not good for U.S. bean prices.
And as I take a look at that South American crop, do they start moving into the world market as soon as they start harvesting?
Well, yes. I mean, a lot of times they will they'll market. They don't have a lot of storage down there, and they've actually still have got soybeans on the ground from last year that they haven't moved, or in storage that from last year that they haven't moved. So that gives them an opportunity to market this grain. Their grain is cheaper. When our dollar goes up, that makes their soybeans cheaper, and you're going to see the export buyers go to the South American market rather than to the U.S. market.
Now, is it just me, or are the Chinese buying less from us? Because it seems like every day we get a report of export sales to China. How big a factor are they compared to a year ago or 2 years ago?
Well, I don't have the exact numbers of how much China is behind a year ago. China's market continues to grow. Their demand continues to grow. But they've been buying a tremendous amount of soybeans out of South America the last several months instead of from the U.S. Markets. Now, the Pacific Northwest ports are still advantageous to China, and it's relatively cheap, so they can get soybeans loaded out of there in a very timely manner. But I think part of that challenge that we have with China right now, even though they're a big user of soybeans, is the trade agreements that that we're dealing with between the countries, and they've been buying soybeans out of South America at a very fast pace compared to what they have been out of the U.S.
If NAFTA does go away, how much of a challenge will that be for American producers?
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge. How much, we don't know. I mean, I think we're seeing right now some, like Mexico is a big buyer of U.S. corn. I think, and they have made some larger purchases than they have in the past. I think some of that is kind of front running the potential problem of the NAFTA agreement. It does have an impact and maybe not as much of an impact on agriculture as some of the other sectors like the automobile industry and so forth, but it will have an impact on agriculture. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
And then let me get back to corn for a moment and talk about ethanol. You know, when we started with gasohol back in the 70s, who would have thought it would grow to the industry it has? And I guess the thing that surprises me more than anything is it has become a big export market for U.S. producers. Is ethanol going to continue to be a part of the corn market and the soy diesel part of the soybean market?
I would say yes, I believe it will. I think, and the other part of it is it needs to, because if we would anyway lose that ethanol demand on the corn side of the equation, it would definitely be a detriment to price, because we use a tremendous amount of corn for ethanol production. About a fifth or about a third of the crop actually goes to ethanol production. If we would lose that, that would be significant. But I think that will continue. The world wants to have more ethanol. South America needs more ethanol. Europe as well. And we will become more of an exporter of ethanol, I believe. And our ethanol industry continues to grow. They continue to become more efficient converters of corn to ethanol. So all of these things are positive. It's a industry that's going to continue as gas prices and our crude oil prices go higher. The big question there will be, how high does it go? Can we keep gasoline prices low enough that we can continue to mix and use enough gasoline and ethanol to keep the profitability at these ethanol plants?
Well, we can't thank you enough for your joining us throughout the year here on the Saturday Morning Show. And one more time, the website to get involved in your January 23, 24, 25 meeting.
It's Allendale-INC.com. That's Allendale-INC.com. And we'd love to have as many people join us as possible. And thank you for having me start out the new year on the morning show.
Well, thank you very much for being a part of it, and we'll call on you throughout the year as we always do. A visit with Paul Giorgi, Chairman of the Board of Allendale Incorporated in McHenry, Illinois, with us here on the Saturday Morning Show. It is 6 minutes before 6 o'clock news time here on WGN Radio. We have been talking a great deal this morning about meeting time for farmers and ranchers across the country. And looking ahead, I do want to mention a deadline that's coming up next week, Thursday, January 11, is the last day for early registration discounts for the 2018 Commodity Classic. That's going to be held February 27 through March 1st. In Anaheim, California, and registration fees vary depending on the number of days attended. Full registration covers all 3 days, and one-day registration is also available. And the location, again, will be the Anaheim Convention Center, Anaheim, California. You'll see a great trade show, and you'll also have the opportunity to attend a lot of sessions helpful in making your plans. The Commodity Classic started basically as a meeting for corn and soybean farmers, but now the convention and trade show is put together by the National Corn Growers Association, the American Soybean Association, the National Association of Wheat Growers, National Sorghum Producers, and the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And that has really made it an all-inclusive agricultural event. But the deadline for the discount on registration coming up on Thursday, January 11th. And when I talk about what's coming up, let me mention that at the end of this month, two conventions involving livestock producers, the American Sheep Industry Association, will be meeting January 29 through February 2nd, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association will be holding its annual meeting here in Phoenix, Arizona, on those same dates. And while we are looking ahead, next week on Friday, we'll get final crop production figures from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the year 2017. And that, as you heard from Paul, will be watched carefully to see if there are any surprises in some of the production numbers that we've been looking at for the last month or two. So Friday, January 12, is the final crop production report for 2017. And then while I'm at it, let me look ahead to the week of January 15. Point out once again, that will be a four-day trading week in the markets, because all of the markets will be closed Monday, January 15, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So make that note in your marketing plans for the middle of January. The get-together in Nashville, Tennessee this week. It's actually started yesterday. It'll continue through Tuesday, the American Farm Bureau Federation annual convention. Max talked about it earlier in the program today, and besides the president's report from the American Farm Bureau, Fuzzy Duvall, and the visit of President Donald Trump on Monday afternoon at the Farm Bureau Convention. And as Max said, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of a welcome he will get for the Farm Bureau Convention. And we'll be reporting that throughout the week, of course, as Farm Bureau not only hears from President Trump, but sets farm policy for the world, for the country's biggest farm organization. And that means they'll be making policy and suggestions on the farm bill, which is currently under discussion and debate for the next 5 years. So a lot going on in that activity. And meanwhile, farmers and ranchers are making their plans, if they haven't already, on what seed varieties they'll be planting based on the numbers that we get next week in crop production for 2017. Well, we'll be covering a lot of those activities during the winter months here before we get to spring planting time. And as Paul Georgie said earlier, the March 31st date is the date that we'll get prospective planting numbers from farmers across the country. USDA will be issuing that, and there'll be a lot of other reports too, because it's the end of the quarter, and so we'll be looking a lot at hog numbers, and we'll be checking, of course, how many acres we're going to plant to corn and to soybeans. So as always, we appreciate your company. I appreciate the help of Bob Ferguson, our engineer back in Chicago, and we will look forward to having you join us again next week for the Saturday Morning Show.
Orion Samuelson keeps you connected to the world of business and agriculture on WGN. Hear his reports weekday mornings on The Steve Cochran Show and during the noon hour on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Plus, catch Orion and Max on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m. only on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.